Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Welcome, first-time listeners. Very excited to have someone whose work I've admired and enjoyed for a long time, Caravalo. She is the executive producer of Family Guy and has a book out called Inside Family Guy, An Illustrated History. And the book features costume designs, reference photographs, and a whole lot more. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Just for the record, I'm from Providence, Rhode Island. I grew up there. And
lovely town.
You get it all. You guys get it all right with all the references and everything. So it's really well
done.
Yeah,
I hope so. Where have you hailed from?
Yeah. Have you been at all? Have you gone to Providence or been there at all?
I have, actually. Yeah. I have. It's a lovely place. Yeah.
We got it.
My favorite place.
It's got some interesting politics behind it, you know, that sort of, we had a crooked mayor, Buddy Cianci, at one time and all of that nonsense, but it can be a great city.
I'm from Philadelphia, so I spent a lot of time on the East Coast.
Yeah, cool. So what brought you guys to kind of put this book together? It's a really interesting way of doing something that sort of ties into the show, but isn't sort of a literal book. I thought it was a really interesting approach.
Yeah, it is. It's a basic overview of the book is we wanted to do a short history of how the show came to be and from its creation by Seth to today, where we're almost 350 episodes in. We really wanted to do a intensive visual guide, and there's a ton of artwork in here. We use it to explain how our episodes are produced through scripts or what you see on TV. You know, we've never put out a book or anything like this before. So it explains in really thorough detail the process, which is very unique to our show. Which after the show was canceled and it was brought back, I had the opportunity to create a studio and a pipeline very specific to Family Guy and to American Dad. So sort of a unique and sophisticated process to get these episodes through the pipeline. And so it's a insider's guide to how that's done and how the show is actually constructed from beginning to end. Sort of an unprecedented look at the concept design and production art behind the series. And so it chronicles the show's development. It shows you how the entire show is created with, like, we have a lot of Seth's original concept sketches and art and backgrounds, and goes through like storyboards detailing many of fans' favorite episodes. And it's a very art heavy book. It has more actual art and production materials in it than any of these art of books that I've seen before. There's also a lot of behind the scenes commentary from almost everyone who's touched the show at some point, besides Seth. The series writers and all the key creatives, the directors and designers and editors, and they all reveal their insights and how they navigate the complicated technical process of the show. Because we put out the 22 episodes every season, each episode taking about a year. So you can imagine that the pipeline has to be very consistent and tight and it's really like the first time we've put something like this out for Family Guy. So for fans, it's a must have. But it's also like a really interesting book for anyone who's interested in the business of animation. Even if you haven't seen the show, you can still learn a lot about the medium and the whole business of television animation. And we wanted it to be more than, we looked at a lot of different art of books. We wanted to make this book a lot more sophisticated than just like a bunch of words and screen grabs from the show. So we worked really hard on making each page layout as interesting and dynamic as possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of art in the books. We're not just writing about it. So I think everyone who see that it's going to be really, really impressed by the level of the quality level and the amount of information in the book.
Well, I'm sure if it's anything like the show that you guys do, it's really great quality. There's so much you mentioned there that's intriguing to me, and I've been working with this animator J.J. Settlemyer, who did a lot of the TV Funhouse stuff with Robert Smigel, and one of the conversations mm-hmm. that we have consistently is, you know, you need enough time to animate the stuff, and the more ambitious you get with your writing, the more, you know, challenging it is to animate.
Yeah.
And you talked about the writers having to navigate the technical process. Elaborate that a little bit for folks who don't really understand the process. So in other words, are there times when a writer might write something and you guys have to come back and go, not doable, or this is just, you've got to tweak things? Just sort of talk about that sort of dance that has to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's an instinct for people to, because it's animation and you can control your entire environment in a way that is much more difficult to do in live action. Like, it's easier to do an animated version of a giant battle than it would be in Game of Thrones, for instance, but it's still difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, after a script is finalized and recorded, an animation director is given ownership of over that entire episode until completion, which is, you know, akin to a TV director who takes the script of a show and turns it into an episode, except that the animation director and people working with him, they have to create everything and the entire visual aspect of the episode. So if he gets a script, he or she gets a script, and it has major crowd scenes and battles and chicken fights and parades, that person's going to go back to the writer and say, more than we can handle within the confines of, you know, there are certain parameters we have. I set up a pipeline to produce the show, and it's based on a certain type of episode, you know, 22 to 28 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if it greatly exceeds that, and there are, you know, several episodes in a row that exceed that, then it will become untenable, and you know, we'll all have to have a conversation and cut back on some of the more ambitious and time-consuming scenes. You know, there's animation's very time-consuming. Our episodes take almost a year each to complete. So, it goes through hundreds of people's hands, and, you know, it's not spit out, by a computer. It's still all hand drawn. And, you know, that's one of the ways in which, the, you know, animation and live action TV hasn't, you know, they haven't really kept up with technology at the same rate. Like, the technology on Family Guy has seen, you know, major changes and improvements and tools used to create it, but that technology doesn't really make the show quicker or easier to mm-hmm. produce. It mm-hmm. still takes the same amount of time. We use less paper, but you know, the technology is used to make, instead of it being used to make things faster, we use it to improve the quality
uh-huh.
And complexity of the animation.
So what is go ahead.
Go ahead.
This hand-drawn thing, is that one of the reasons it takes a year? That seems mm-hmm. to me, and again, I'm not an expert in this like you are, but a long time even by animation standards. And I know you and Seth sort of worked at Hanna-Barbera, and is that where this comes from, and why is hand drawn so important to you guys versus doing something computer generated that could cut the time down significantly?
Well, we do use, like, instead of drawing with pencil and paper, we use Wacom tablets, like Cintiqs, for drawing,
mm-hmm.
and that decreases the time take a little bit, because you don't have to erase things and put post-its over things. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the hand-drawn, you know, we draw on Wacom tablets instead of on paper, but it's still hand-drawn, and it is really important to the show. I'll try to explain it to you. It's like, it's a Family Guy, like The Simpsons and, you know, King of the Hill, and most of the primetime shows are so-called script-driven shows. But on Family Guy and American Dad, like The Simpsons, the storytelling and the staging and the subtle acting and the timing that we put so much attention into plays a really pivotal role in how the comedy plays and how the jokes play. So then the timing in Family Guy, you know, the quick cuts and is probably the most unique part of the show. And that derives first from the audio edit of the radio play, but extends to through how the directors interpret the action and marry it to the dialogue. So when they get a really funny joke, they have to draw the way in which they have to draw the character saying it and put enough drawings in, or as few drawings in, that makes it hit the marks for being that the writer intended to make it funny. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so difficult about animation. And it's what sets Family Guy apart from other primetime shows and what other shows try to do and often fail, because the timing is everything in animation comedy. Mm. And if we were to do it in a digital program, or like I also do the animation for the science show Cosmos. Mm-hmm. And we do that, it's more of a narrative and explaining, it's not humorous, and it's more explaining concepts of science. Mm-hmm. And we use digital programs like After Effects and Flash, but we're not relying on any jokes hitting on very specific points.
Right.
It's much easier to use a process like that. But the human element of really understanding that joke and knowing exactly how, like, Peter should be saying that joke, what expression he has, how he's moving his eyes and his hands in very subtle acting ways is what makes or breaks the show, and what is the reason that Family Guy is successful.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That
and it makes much more sense to look at it in the book, because we explain it fully with drawings.
Well, no, it makes sense to me. I wrote on The Daily Show for quite a while, and that it was all about, you know, that one word in the right place, or too many words, and and then John hitting it the right way, and you know, it's
right, so, right.
And to the naked eye, or somebody doesn't do it, it's like, yeah, okay, it's a bunch of words and the guy said a joke, but that timing makes all the difference in the world. And it's really interesting to hear this process. I'm totally fascinated by this. One last question. What sparks what? I mean, I know that there were early on when Seth came up with the concept for the show, there were the key characters, but over time, new characters get developed, and being in that process, what drives what? What's the chicken or the egg generally? Does the writer or somebody come up with an idea for a character based on some thoughts, or is it more of a visual inspiration? Like, what drives what usually when a new character is created?
I think for the most part, it's the writers in the room coming up with characters and ideas and pitching them. We have a number of writers in the room that are also, comedians or just specifically funny people who do voices. And
yeah, John Viner. John Viner's
in the room.
Yeah, John Viner's a buddy of mine. Yeah.
He's one, and Danny Smith and Alex Sulkin. They can all pitch characters. No, when Seth MacFarlane was in the room all the time, that happened, you know, a lot, and he would be able to do a sketch of a character and and come up with a voice at the same time, which was a very important part of of coming up with these characters and making them successful. But yeah. I think everyone in there sort of has a hand in that, and then they'll take that to one of the artists, and he or she will, you know, will sketch something out. John, your buddy John, definitely has come up with characters, and then they're incorporated into the show. It's usually on a show like this, it's the impetus comes from the writers and the writers' room, and then gets passed down to the artist.
Got it. Well, I could talk to you all day about this. This is so so interesting, and I'd love to hear sometime how you built the apparatus for this. And I know you talked about you came up with 200, we staffed 200 plus people at 20th Century Fox to be able to run two shows. So maybe have you back on another time to just talk some more about it.
Yeah, and a lot of it's answered in the book too, but of course there's not enough space for all that.
Right. Well, the book is Inside Family Guy, an illustrated history. You can get it everywhere. It's really great to have you on, and great work, and it's a really seminal show. So congratulations on everything. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much.